You're a wizard, Abby! Potter Book Club for The Goblet of Fire with
Michael DeMauro,
Sarah Tompkins,
and I'm Majaya Shrestha. This week, we talk about Chapter 33, The Death Eaters. Then we talk about the Death Eaters some more. And the Tri-Quizzer Tournament continues.
Hi there, ghosts and geists. This week, the scores leave us with Bajaya at 23 points, Sarah at 19, and Michael at 15.
All right, it's my turn again.
Spells of curses for 400.
What is the spell used to modify memories?
Obliviate?
Yep. Yeah. Nice job.
Look at all these
hair.
Weak.
That was the first polite applause we've had all.
They've been applauding for her the same time.
I don't have a profile. She didn't
notice they were here.
I'm a
polite person.
Oh, are you though?
No. Spells and creatures?
Spells and creatures.
Combine it. Spells and curses for 500.
Okay.
Don't know any spells.
What is the spell that casts the dark mark into the sky?
Oh.
Oh, God dang it. Hold on, wait. They say if you want it, you achieve it.
Right, the secret.
It's the secret, yeah. That's the secret.
I know who does it in the fourth book.
That is not the question.
I know.
God, I know this somewhere in my brain.
God, stop!
No.
Who wants to come up here and whisper in my ear?
No, wait, hold on.
No,
we don't. Oh, more Mortra.
Yes.
The secret is David Tennant.
Always.
I will
worst Doctor Who ever.
No! Get out!
I'm just joking! I'm just joking! Everybody's gonna find me here later.
Death Eaters. Guess what, guys?
What?
What's going on?
He has been resurrected. He's alive. It's
who?
Jesus.
Oh.
Yeah.
I didn't expect that.
He is risen.
He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
That phrase really bugs me, but whatever. That sentence, I guess he's risen. I don't know. So he's alive and he's very pale. He's like so pale. You could probably see through him if, I don't know.
Sounds like me in the winter, am I right?
If my friend Caitlin would listen to our podcast, I would say he looks like Caitlin. He's that pale.
Oh, snap.
Maybe she shouldn't
But
listen.
I can talk shit because she doesn't listen. Anyway, so he has eyes. His eyes are really red with slit pupils like a cat, but not as cute. And he also has little snake-like nostrils.
Ew.
So Wormtrail is like... Wormtrail? Wormtail.
Wormtrail.
That's the hiking trail you go on to find worms. Wormtail is crying.
I'm on the Wormtrail.
It's like the Pacific Crest Trail.
The Pacific Rim, except lamer and smellier and wetter.
So he is crying, like he's like, Master, you promised about his hand that he cut off. But Voldemort's like, I don't give a shit. And he like throws him against a wall and Wormtail just crumples and he's like, blah, blah. So he goes over to Wormtail, takes his left arm and touches the dark mark tattoo on it with his finger. And Harry's scar just hurts like crazy. And the mark turns jet black.
Ew.
Voldemort is like, oh, the mark is back. And they will have noticed who's they. We don't know. And he is like, I wonder how many will be brave enough to come return to me. So he tells Harry that this where they are is the resting place of his late Muggle father, whom he calls a fool and compares him to Lily. He tells Harry that his mother fell in love with his father, but then he left her because once he found out that she was a witch, and then she died giving birth to him. How sad.
Don't those origin stories always turn out that way?
I know. But he's still named after his father, Tom Riddle.
Riddle.
The Death Eaters start to apparate to the cemetery, and they each approach Voldemort on their knees, and like they kiss his robes. I don't really weird to me. They like grab his robes and kiss it. So they form a circle around Harry, Voldemort, and Wormtail. But it seems like that's the way they like know the position in the circle that they ought to be in because they leave certain gaps between them, like. Other people should have been there. So Voldemort asked them why they never came to look for him. But he like asked them questions, but they answered himself. And he's like, oh, you thought that I was broken and gone. And then he's like, well, how could they believe that I would not come back? Since they knew that he took steps that no one else has taken to guard himself against mortal death. And then he says, oh, they probably believed that there was a greater power than him. Maybe Dumbledore?
Dun, dun, dun.
So Avery like tries to say sorry to him and he starts torturing him. He's like, I don't forgive or forget, you dick. And then he's like, Wormtail's
for
only
life.
One. Yeah. Wormtail's the only one that helped me, even though it was like reluctantly at times. So he gives Wormtail, fashions him a silvery hand, and it works like a regular hand, but it's silver.
That's
it's
pretty
very
cool.
Fashionable.
I guess it's like, is like that like a status symbol? Couldn't you just have given him like flesh?
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm a Dark Lord, but I'm not that powerful.
Or maybe he just wanted him to be real, like, shiny and stand out in the card. Maybe he wants Wormtail to find himself a girl, and the silver hand would work. I don't know. I don't know what dark witches and wizards are into. Or a boy. Maybe he would want a boy. I don't know his life. So Lucius is there.
I don't know his life. You don't know me. You just resurrected me.
Yeah. Lucius is also there. And he's like, yeah, Lucius, I know all about you leading the riot during the World Cup. But you ran when the mark showed up. And Lucius was like, oh, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I will try to do better next time. In the movie, he calls Lucius his slippery friend.
Also, it's like he's playing Mad Libs. He's like, adjective. My iridescent friend. Oh, that's a terrible one. Give me a different one. Slippery. Oh, that's much better.
So next gaps are the Lestranges, who are in Azkaban. They will be honored when they're broken out because Voldemort thoroughly expects the Dementors to join them because they are natural allies of the Dark Wizards. So McNair, Crabbe, and Goyle are there, and he just says, like, do better next time. So six are missing from the circle. Three are dead. One is too cowardly to return. One has left him forever, and one who remains his most faithful servant and has already re-entered his service. Who are these three people? Who are they? I don't know. Do you?
No.
I got some guesses.
Oh, okay. We'll talk about it. So the most faithful servant,
you know who's not as faithful? Definitely yeah. Voldemort. He does not have a lot of face right now.
It's a very flat face. So his most faithful servant. Faithful servant is at Hogwarts.
Ah.
Yeah. And that's who got Harry to Little Hangleton. And he calls Harry his guest of honor. He's like, oh, Harry, I almost forgot about you. So Lucius is like, please tell us about your return. Voldemort says this begins and ends with Harry. So Voldemort explains that his downfall was because Lily died protecting Harry and unwittingly provided him with the protection that Voldemort himself didn't foresee. He couldn't touch Harry, so she left traces of her sacrifice on Harry, which is a very old magic, and he himself should have remembered it. But guess what? Because he took his blood, he can touch him now. So Voldemort touches him to prove it, and Harry...
I feel like there are little kids in the back of the car. Not touching you, not touching you.
So, and then Harry feels pain so intense, he feels like his head is about to burst. So Voldemort continues to explain that the curse rebounded on himself, and because of Lily's protection, he was ripped from his body, and he was less than a spirit. Less than the meanest ghost, but he was alive. So I don't think he had like a body or anything. He was just like floating around, I don't know, whatever he was doing. So he doesn't know what he was, but he forced himself to exist. Just like second by second, he goes, I would just... willed myself to exist, and he waited for his followers to find him.
He thinks, therefore he is.
Yeah, so he could possess the bodies of others, and that was his only remaining power. But he couldn't go where humans were because he knew that Aurors were still looking for him, so he inhabited animals. Snakes were his favorite, but his possession killed them, like, pretty fast, which is cruel. Rough. Yeah. So then he comes across a young young man who had recently gotten out of Hogwarts, which was Professor Quirrell. So he talks him into letting him occupy possess his body, and like how it was easy to bend him to his will, but he couldn't, couldn't sneak the Sorcerer's Stone, but I wrote couldn't stake the Sorcerer's Stone. Whatever.
It's hard to stab.
Yeah, because of Harry, and then Quirrell died when he left his body, so he had basically given up hope, and then Wormtail found him in Albania. So Wormtail had been, like, running around, I guess, looking for Voldemort as a rat, and the rats told him that there was a place in the forest, like, deep in the forest of Albania that they avoided because there was it was darkness there or something.
But like rats told him?
Yeah, because Voldemort, Wormtail was running around as a rat.
That's like some Mrs. Frisbee stuff right there.
Yeah, so I don't know who that is.
Mrs. Frisbee and the Rats of Nim? Oh.
I don't know that. Okay. Anyway, so he stopped on his way to Albania. Wormtail made a mistake. He stopped at an inn for food and ran into Bertha Jorkins. But then he convinced her to go on a nighttime stroll with him. Come on, Bertha! Stay sexy, don't get murdered!
Girl, I want that on a t-shirt. Come on, Bertha. Stay sexy, don't get murdered.
You know, he's a fucking creep. Don't go on a nighttime stroll. Don't go on a nighttime stroll with a random dude.
You're better than that, girl. You don't need him.
I know. Go see your cousin that you were going to go see. So he brought Bertha to Voldemort, and he got enough information out of her about the Triwizard Tournament. But he had gotten, like, used so much magic on her that she was of no use to him. So he just ended up killing her. Too broken. Whatever. Disposed. So he couldn't possess Wormtail because Wormtail's supposed to be dead. So Wormtail just followed Voldemort's instructions to make a rudimentary and weak body to inhabit, and while he waited to be reborn, which is a potion made of unicorn blood and snake venom from Nagini. And we've discussed this before, if Nagini is a constrictor, she does not have venom. But anyway, that's not here nor there.
Maybe she's a magical, maybe her mom was a boa constrictor and her dad was a python or some sort of venomous snake. Her python's venomous and they're constrictors. It's not, but in my world, that's how they work.
Okay.
It's 100% not how science works.
We should send like USDA or someone, not USDA, the agriculture department. Yeah, USDA. To Sarah's apartment, just in case she's breeding, like crossbreeding random snakes. You don't know what she's doing.
You don't know me.
I don't know your life. So Voldemort can't be immortal now because the Sorcerer's Stone was destroyed. So he had to settle for his old body when we were talking about it last week. So the body that he took on when he was resurrected was his old body, but obviously his face is different. The old body that was already, like, mangled from his soul being ripped apart 7 times. Because remember, later Dumbledore says when he comes back to ask for a job at Hogwarts, he looks different than the Tom that left Hogwarts.
Right.
Because he had done so much dark magic on himself that he just looked different. So, yeah, so this is the body that he had before he died. Hmm. Before he got cursed out of into oblivion. But he would need 3 things in the potion for this dark magic to work. It's an old dark magic. Obviously, like Sarah said, father's bone, blood of foe, flesh of servant. So it just says blood of foe, so maybe they didn't need a flesh of foe or whatever. So maybe Wormtail didn't need to torture Harry like I was advocating for it last week.
And you're like, come on, please.
Cut him some more. I don't know. So Wormtail asked him to use any wizard's blood. But, I mean, because Wormtail's like, any wizard is probably your enemy. Like, everybody hates you. But he's like, no, I want the protection from his mom that is running through Harry's veins. So how do you get Harry? He's protected under Dumbledore with an ancient magic. So as long as he's in Dursley's care, he can't touch Harry there. So Quidditch Quirrell Cup. He thought about that, but there'd be too many people, too many ministry wizards to kidnap him. And then Bertha's information. He used his most faithful servant to make sure Harry's name was entered into the goblet, made sure he gets the cup first, and then Porky him here. And then Voldemort uses the Cruciatus curse on Harry, tells his followers that Harry's not stronger than him, and I will prove it because I'm going to fight him right now.
You are going to arm wrestle. Just wait.
At thumb wrestle, come on. So, yeah, they're going to wand fight. They're going to fight their wands. Get it? So, new things this week was...
Wait, is that the end of it?
Yeah, that was the end of the chapter. So, end in right before they are going to battle each other.
Cliffhanger.
With magic! Any guesses as to what spell Harry's going to use in that battle?
Rictisempra!
Whatever that tickle one
That's
was.
Rictisempra!
Yeah, that one.
So new things this chapter Lumos. Was the dark mark as a summoning tool. The tattoo one.
Mm-hmm.
And then what Voldy looks like. In my chapter notes, I call him Voldy and Dumbly because their names are way too long to type out.
Yeah.
And then the shortcut version of, well, I guess Voldemort's version of his parents and how he came about. Yeah, so I have one question. If he really wanted his followers to find him, why go to hide in a forest so far away? One, how did he get to the forest in Albania? And two, he's like mad that his followers didn't come to the forest of Albania to come find him. Like, don't go to... You were in England. Maybe go to a forest in like... Scotland Wales. Or something.
No one's going to Wales.
Aww.
I'm just kidding.
Sorry, our Welsh.
I love Welsh you, Wales. Listeners. I do. I love you so much, Wales.
Like, he's like mad at them for not coming to find them, but who's going to go? There's so many for it. The world is huge. How are they going to call
him? Hide, though.
I know.
Are after him.
I know. He just says he couldn't be around people. So there are like other forests probably closer to where his followers are, and it doesn't seem like he has that many followers to start with, because that circle was pretty small. Maybe that's like his lieutenants or something. But still, like, if I disappeared and I wanted you all to come find me, you're not gonna think, oh, forest in Albania, that's probably where she is.
No.
He's unreasonable.
He is. Also, how did he get across all those borders without any questions being raised?
Well, I think he was probably possessing magic. Animals.
That's true.
Yeah. But still, like, maybe hang out with animals in, I don't know, Forest of Dean, where, Harry and Hermione hang out later.
You can just take the channel right across. I don't know. Yeah. It's right there.
He's so unreasonable. Crazy. I can't believe Voldemort is unreasonable, you guys. This is so ridiculous.
Albania's nice.
I didn't say it wasn't nice, but it's far. Like, Quirrell just happened to be there because he was running around looking for dangerous creatures.
I guess that's more the point, is that it's not that Albania isn't beautiful. It is a hidden gem. But that's the problem. It's hidden, meaning that what are the odds he's going to find an English, you know, evil wizard happening upon him in the forest of Albania? If he wanted to increase his, like, odds, why wouldn't he just, like, I don't know, chill in, like, the Pyrenees or something?
Maybe possess like an owl, fly to Lucius's manor, and whisper, be like, "Hey, dude, I'm in Albania. I gotta go back, but come find me."
He's been practicing writing with a beak for like weeks. And he like is like with a quill.
Like it all worked out for him in the end. So I think it was a good choice.
I guess.
It's got his body back. He's about to kill Harry. Everything's coming up Voldy.
Everything's coming up Voldy. It almost sounds like you're rooting for him, Michael.
Oh, of course.
You are the Voldemort of this podcast. And it makes sense.
Do you also vote against, what is the, do you vote? Do you root for the, what is it, Cobra Khan Dojo? The bad...
That's
karate
a bad dojo.
People.
Yeah,
they've got those cool black
Cobra
vests
Kai, though.
And
Cobra
stuff.
Kai, friend. They do.
Cobra Kai. Yep.
Yeah. I mean,
do you root for Shredder?
Shredder.
Yeah.
Yes, he's got.
You
that
know
cool
what really
mask.
Bothers me though? I kind of root for Shredder because the friggin' Ninja Turtles lived with their mentor and were raised by their mentor for years, and they like never learned how to speak. Like he was like Japanese, right? Splinter.
Yeah.
Why do they never learn his language? Why do they never learn to respect his culture?
Well,
like, I don't understand. I mean, this
that's
is a different
not, that's not okay. That's not totally on him, because maybe Splinter did
turtles?
Never. Well, no. Maybe Splinter never offered it.
That's true.
Or he could be like, Josh always is like, "When are you going to teach me Nepali?" And I'm like, "Never." Maybe Splinter does that. I don't know.
That's true. That's true. Maybe he likes to have his alone time and not have to worry about that. Anyway.
Sorry, this turned into a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles podcast.
This has been our Teenage Mutant Ninja podcast.
Have you all any questions?
I was wondering about why his group of Death Eaters was so small, and if that's and if none of them showed up, like why anybody bothered bringing them back? Like if there's that few people, one, why couldn't, I mean, I'm assuming that there are more Death Eaters that are more like casual, like couch sitting Death Eaters who just are like, I'll just read the blog posts about the meeting later. But
I have a theory.
But if there's truly only that many like Death Eaters who are influential, one, why couldn't all of wizarding kind like take on the Death Eaters once Voldemort was banished? And
now you're encroaching on the segment that's coming up.
Okay. I mean, that's true. Then we'll talk about this and then. But yeah, actually.
That's 2 weeks of encroachment, Sarah.
I'm an encroacher. What can I say?
I think we can all agree that Crabbe and Goyle came back.
Yeah.
And they are essentially the Bebop and Rocksteady of the Death Eaters, right? I mean, we all agree about that. All right. See you guys next time.
Bye.
Man, that conversation about Death Eaters was sure interesting, even though we encroached on it slightly. We should talk about it more.
Yeah.
What happens if you start talking about something you're supposed to talk about? It's not encroaching. Is it just croaching?
It's just croaching, I think.
We're going to start croaching, guys. That sounds wrong. I don't know.
It's recroaching?
Recroaching? Accroaching?
Uncroaching?
Uncroaching. Uncroaching. Yeah, I had some questions about Death Eaters, guys. I had a lot of questions.
Decroaching?
Death Eaters, go!
Decroaching. I like it. We're going to decroach about some Death Eaters. Death Eaters. Why couldn't... There was such a small amount of Death Eaters.
Mm-hmm.
Following the fall of Voldemort, I can't remember now, and I'm sure there probably were, but I know that they had some trials because obviously Barty Crouch had to... sentence his own son. But why wasn't there more serious like trials for like war crimes, essentially?
I think so. Part of it is
like,
because
I think about like the Nazis and things like that. Like obviously you can't get every single person who was part of the Nazi party, because you know that not all of them, even though they were part of heinous war crimes, they didn't actually actively commit the heinous war crimes. But still, I like the Malfoys, obviously they had power, but like I don't know. I just feel like they didn't do a very good job with their, you know, Geneva
situation. Part of it is what Moody says, that a lot of people after the fall of Voldemort, the Death Eaters, said that they were under the Imperius curse. Mm-hmm. And is there, like, any way to figure out whether or not that is true?
And I suppose there were a lot of people that were under the Imperius curse.
Right.
And Malfoy being, like, the old, rich, powerful family that he is, even though he probably, most people knew that he was definitely not under the Imperius curse, like, there's no proof against it, so how are you gonna know? So they probably let him slide. A lot of people, I think, like, they said 3 of them died. So we don't know how many. So I think the Death Eaters themselves are, like, the lieutenants of, like, the inner circle. Because later, he doesn't give Draco the Dark Mark until he's, like, proven himself.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, I think so. Here's my theory about why there are only, like, 9 or 10 Death Eaters in total. Well, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Maybe, like, 12 or 13 Death Eaters in total. So Voldemort likes to think that he is pure blood, even though he's not. And he likes to tout himself as being from the ancient family of the Gaunts. And he likes power, and he likes people who are powerful and, like, are pure blood and all of that, that kind of buttresses himself into a higher regard by surrounding himself by people he wants to be like, or wishes he had that family background. Mm-hmm. That's my theory, is in, like, why he's so selective about the people in his inner circle and only gives the Death Eater status or whatever, the Dark Mark on their arm, to a select group of people. I think they have to pass a certain exam of, like, family background and, like, power and...
Right.
Etc. Yeah.
It just seems like it's limiting his numbers a lot, and then consequently, I just feel like, how is it possible that that few people...
No, I definitely think that there were other people that were his lackeys and that probably supported him and did his bidding, just like the, what is it, squabbers or whatever later. Like, they're just bad people that followed him probably, but they were bad people, but they didn't have the background or the family that he coveted, so he didn't make them Death Eaters. They were just people that did his bidding, but...
Yeah, what's the rank below a Death Eater? Like a...
Death liquor. I don't know. But that was my theory about why there are only so many Death Eaters. Mm.
Do the Death Eaters know who each other are?
Yeah.
Because they're all wearing masks and junk, right?
I assume like members of the clan know who each other are, even though they're all wearing masks. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
And it's when just, they like. Part of a, it's part of like a. They think it's a, I don't know, ritual. I was going to say fun ritual, but it's terrifying and horrible ritual.
When they're cutting up, you know, in the living room of the Malfoy Manor.
Go out for drinks at the pub after, you know.
I'm sure they don't have some masks chips. On. I'm sure they don't have the masks on then. And, you know, they're like, oh, old Lucius is here and old McNair is here. Yeah, there are definitely people that, because in the Karkaroff testimony, he talks about, like, McNair and Rosier and Rookwood. And there, some of them have not been named, but I think Rookwood stays at the ministry for whatever reason, right? Even after Karkaroff accuses him.
I don't remember.
Mm.
But that whole trial situation was so crazy that, like, some people, like Sirius, didn't get a trial, and other people seem like they got pretty unfair trials.
Yeah, their judicial system is all kinds of messed up. I don't have a lot of faith in it.
Especially at that moment. So, I don't know, like, maybe if, like, I was accused of something and I was threatened with going to Azkaban, I'd be like, Sarah Tompkins was a Death Eater too!
Bitch, so you don't know me.
people could have, like, accused random people, so they might have had a hard time. But my question is...
A witch hunt.
But, I mean, there are also Death Eaters that were like, yeah, fuck yeah, we did it. Yeah, I'm a Death Eater. He's gonna come back. And guess what? They were right.
They were. Mm-hmm. But again, I just feel like, I don't know why they were all like, you know what? We're doing okay without him, I guess. Like, the Malfoys, I'm not exactly sure what the Malfoys have to gain from him getting back into power. It's like,
yeah, they're kind of doing okay.
They're doing like, it's not like it's going to give them like any tax cuts or something. Like, all they got to do is just like, they're still rich in their household. And like, I guess because Dumbledore is headmaster and they're like, they're teaching our kids all this junk. But
oh, they let all these mudbloods into school.
Whatever.
It's like asking the rich people in our society, what do they have to gain from the Republican tax cuts? They get more money. So if like Voldemort comes back, maybe he'll wipe off some of the industry or some of the businesses that are competing with the Malfoy businesses, and they'll get even richer and more powerful.
Well, yeah, isn't it a lot about the pureblood stuff, though? I mean, it's,
yeah, I think it's mostly, but I mean, it's that
like a pride and heritage sort of thing.
I'm sure it's about the money too. It has to be also about the money.
Mo money, mo problems. Mo Voldemort.
Mo money, mo Voldemort.
As Biggie once said.
And I'm sure he doesn't care about Dumbledore being in Hogwarts, like, not giving his son all the house points for, I don't know, picking up a sock. So there's that muggle lover Dumbledore.
Yeah, I guess that's part of it, too, is that there is always going to be, with people who follow someone who is full of hate, a sort of irrationality about it, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds a lot like today, you guys.
I mean,
womp, womp.
I follow Michael on this podcast and on Geekly Inc., so rationality clearly doesn't factor in.
Clearly.
JK,
I am
JK,
full of hate.
JK Rowling.
JK Rowling.
JK Rowling.
Well, I think I have covered it.
I think we'll hear a little bit more about Death Eaters as we go on and we see them sort of come back. And I do wonder, and I think that maybe
come into their own, you mean?
Really blossom.
Blossom. They really flower into some sort of deadly nightshades. But I think I wonder like how different Death Eaters will be in the next few books versus how they were back in the good old days with all capital letters on each of the beginning of those words. But who knows?
And don't you always wish that things were like the good back in the good old days?
Good old days, capital letters. I do.
Yeah.
I always do. But anyway, well, thanks for talking about scary people in robes with me.
Well, thank you for talking about it.
See you later, everybody.
Hey, I have a joke, though. Hold on. I have a joke before we leave. How do you distinguish a crocodile from an alligator? It depends on whether, say, after a while or later. Wait. Crocodile.
It's see you later, alligator. In a while, crocodile.
Whether they say see you later or after a while. There you go. Boom. Boom roasted.
Bye. That was good.
That was really solid. You stuck the landing.
It's the delivery that really makes it.
See you later, crocodile.
For joining us for You're a Wizard, Harry. Our editor is Alan Matthews, our artwork was done by Jesse Carlton, and our music was done by Sean Fagan. I know you want to help us out, so why don't you head on over to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review? And also, send us an email so we can talk to you. You can do that by emailing us at potterpod@geeklyinc.com. Hey, I know you all want to keep talking to us, so find us on Twitter @PotterPod.
I'm Michael, and you can find me at Thrifty Nerd.
I'm Sarah, and you can find me at Her Lady Tompkins.
And I'm Vijaya, and you can find me at Ethnic Ninja. All right, who wants to introduce this segment about Death Eaters?
I can.
Hey!
Oh. No, Michael, you do it. Michael, continue. You're already in there.
Get it?
I get it.